Morning again. Today we're going to be continuing our series on When Hard Times Fall. And this week is going to be focused on Focus Your Mind. So we're going to talk about peace this morning. Everybody give me a peace sign. Peace. What's up? Yeah. All right. Now, we're not going to be talking about world peace, okay? But we are going to be talking about personal peace. And I want to know, when do you feel at peace? And how would you describe yourself when you are feeling at peace? So turn to someone near you and tell them, when do you feel at peace? And how do you describe it? How do you know that you're in that peaceful state? So turn to someone near you real quick and answer that question. All right, lots of smiles, lots of good vibes I'm feeling from people as they're talking about their peaceful state. Now let's talk about the opposite. When do you not feel at peace, and how would you describe that? So turn back to your partner. Just from my perspective, watching up here, when you were talking about things that did not bring you peace, most of you were louder and more animated. And I don't know what that means. I wasn't expecting that. But we have times when we feel at peace and when we don't feel at peace, when we don't feel like we're at peace. One way to describe peace would be the absence of worry. And because you can't be filled with worry, you can't be worrying about a lot of things, and then also feel at peace, right? You have to be free of worry if you're going to be filled with peace. The Apostle Paul talks about peace, and he says to find peace, you have to do two things. And I want you to see if you can pick these out as I read this scripture. See what two things Paul says to do to find peace. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So did you find at least two things in that passage? Two things that he says to do in that passage. First, he says to pray. And the second thing he says is to focus your mind on things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. The first one, prayer. We talked a lot about that the last 2 weeks. Prayer is important, and we can't just skip over it. In hard times, we have to turn to God. We have to pray to God. He wants us to share our needs with Him. He wants us to share our desires with Him. And Paul says, tell God what you need in your situations. No prayer is too small to bring to God. If it's important enough for you to think about it, it's important enough for you to pray about it. God doesn't say, oh, that's too little, that's too small, I'm not going to bother myself with that. God wants us to bring everything, large and small, to Him. You're not going to bother God with your prayers. If it's important enough for you to think about it, it's important enough and acceptable enough to pray about it. God is our Father, and He wants to know our thoughts. He wants to know our innermost desires. But He also wants us to talk to Him about the day-to-day stuff, the mundane stuff that we don't necessarily think about too heavily. He wants us to communicate with Him about that as well. In our prayers, he says, focus on these things, focus our thoughts, focus your things that you're thinking about as you're praying. And when you're thinking about these hard times, he says, focus on those things that are on the screen, true, honorable, things that are right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Because our thoughts are very important. Our thoughts are essential in getting us through hard times. After all, we're not going to do much without first thinking about it. Some thought process or belief is in play every time you do something. even when you're acting impulsively, which we all have done that on occasion, something in your mind has triggered you to do that because you've thought about it probably at some point in the past, or it fits within your paradigm of how you view life, and so you do it without thinking about it. We don't do things just out of the blue, totally against what our core beliefs are and our core thoughts are. For example, if we're going to sin, we're generally, we've thought about that sin before we do it, right? We're not just randomly sinning. We've thought about these things, they're tempting us to do these things, and we've allowed that thought to get into our mind. That's why what we put into our minds is critical. We have to guard what we put into our hearts and into our minds. We have to be careful about what we put in as far as what we see, what we hear, the people that we're around. All of those things go into our minds and help shape who we are with our thought life. The old computer programming thing is GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. That's how it works. So Paul says that what's important is that when we're going through hard times, in order to find peace, we have to focus our mind on those things that are right and focus our mind on thankfulness and gratitude. We have to have that attitude of gratitude. Because no matter what we're going through, we can find something to be grateful for. Things can always get worse, right? And we always hear people, oh, things couldn't get worse. Oh, please don't say that. I'm not a big into, you know, that kind of fateful thinking, but still, you know, knock on wood, things could always get just a little bit worse. We need to be grateful. We need to be specifically grateful to Jesus as part of our worship. That's part of worship, being thankful and grateful to God. When we're being grateful, we're actually worshiping God, being grateful for what God has provided for us. In the midst of our hard times, we have to stop and consider what we have and what we can be grateful for. This helps us keep our minds on Christ. And by keeping our minds on Christ, by focusing our minds on things that are good, things that are true, things that are admirable, that helps us get through these hard times. Often people who make it through hard times talk about their unwavering faith in God. Those are people that have filled their thoughts with things of God. They've filled their thoughts with Scripture. They have filled their thoughts with God's faithfulness and their gratitude for what God has done for them. And when life throws them hard times, they respond by remembering who God is, what He has done for them. This morning I'm going to ask Bruce Bellinger to come forward and share his testimony. He's been through many hard times, but through it all, he's been able to keep his faith in God. So Bruce, would you come and share your testimony this morning?
My wife, Marcella, was in pain most of her life. She was born with a wry neck. She had pain in her lower back. She had headaches. She had fibromyalgia, where she had pain all over her body. She had TMJ jaw pain. She had 4 C-section surgeries. And then she had to have surgery to remove the adhesions from the surgeries. She was in a pickup wreck up in Canada one time where she went through the windshield. It happened that the best surgeon in Canada was on staff, so he was able, the surgery on her hairline, and he would never hardly know that he'd done a really good job fixing her up. She upset a harvest truck one time and broke her ankle. And then her and Cody was hit by a welding truck one time, and that's when her arm got broken. Right in the middle. And that's the kind that does not heal. And it didn't heal. and she had surgery on that arm again, and it still didn't heal. And then we went, sometime later, we went for another opinion, and that doctor said he didn't know whether he could get that old rod out without clipping the nerve or stretching it, and if he did, she would be like this from now on. Or another option was just, the pain was so severe, it was just amputation to take it off. She injured her neck one time falling while she was skiing. Another time, I and my daughters, we always like water slides. And we were in Manitou Springs. And we convinced her to try it too. Well, with her weight, she went down so fast that she almost went over the side at the first turn. And when she got to the bottom, she was upside down and backwards. And that injured her neck again. We were in Pagosa Springs one time on vacation, and she come down with high altitude pulmonary edema and a right bundle blockage in her heart. That's when she started using oxygen and wearing a CPAP at night. Another time she was in the hospital from her reaction from flu and pneumonia shots. One time she got a bad infection on her face. She had sat with her mother in the Garden City Hospital, and they thought she got it from talking on the hospital phone. And then later on, she fell, and she broke the titanium rod in her arm. We went to see another specialist about that, but surgery wasn't possible because of her weight. And because the other rod was improperly installed, it was like a windshield wiper working inside of the bone. And that made it so thin, they didn't think there was enough left to screw plates to it to hold it together. But you know, God provided us some really good times together before she passed away. When I was 61, I began to think about retiring. So I called the barber board and the barber school and advertised my shop for sale. And they said, good luck, buddy. You're not going to get anybody to come to a small town, especially way out in western Kansas. And they were right. I didn't have one inquiry. And then some people came to town from California. He worked in the bank, and she was a hairdresser, and she wanted a building to put in suntan beds and acrylic nails. So they heard I was thinking about retiring, and they wanted to buy the building. So, well, I'm not quite ready yet. I was just thinking about it. But they wanted to see the building. And so I told them what I wanted, and they bought it. So I retired about 8 months earlier than what I'd planned on. And then our house was for sale, and it didn't sell. And then just overnight, it sold, and we had to be out in 3 weeks. We were anticipating a move to Hayes someday, so we were having Don and Cody fix a handicap apartment in their backyard. And they had a small studio apartment, but they were turning it into a handicap apartment for us. Because we'd already knew that someday Marcella was going to have to be on dialysis. But when our house sold, the apartment still wasn't ready. So we found ourselves homeless. So we traveled for several months. We visited family and friends, lots of places. And then Cody called us one time. It was our anniversary, and she said she had purchased several show packages at Branson, Missouri for us that when we went by there. So we stayed there for a while and saw several of the shows. Then in November, Roger, that's the barber here in town, he called me just a week or two before Thanksgiving to see if I could come and help out part-time for a little while. So we came to Hayes. Apartment was not ready, so we moved in with Cody and Don. While we were there, Cody had a midwife. She had a home birth there in her house, so Marcella got to be in on that. And then in time, Marcella got sick, and so then she did have to go on dialysis. And after she was on dialysis quite a while, she got a severe case of the shingles. And they were from the center, underneath her breast, her stomach, belly button, all the way around to her back. And then it got in her spine, and then it got in her brain, and she never was very good after that. And so when she couldn't do steps anymore, that sped up the process of getting the apartment done. So while we were in the apartment, Cootie had her second baby, another home birth, so Marcella got to be there for that too. But we got through these situations because years ago we were taught that God's grace was sufficient. And we were taught that God would never allow these situations to be greater than what we could stand. And we learned to know that God's will, His will would be done. But our faith in God and the support of our daughters, Julie and Cody, the support of our church family, Hayes Christian Church family, through their prayers, their visits, bringing communion, meals, that's how we got through death times.
Thank you, Bruce. In Scripture, we read about a lot of people that went through hard times. One person in particular was Daniel. Daniel was an official in King Darius's administration, and he was despised by the other leaders in the administration because of his Jewish heritage. So they tried to discredit him with the king, but they couldn't. There was nothing he was doing that was wrong, that was worthy of punishment. The only way they could think of to get at him and to get rid of him was to use his faith against him. So they convinced King Darius to make a decree that for 30 days, the only person that you could pray to was King Darius. And to pray to any other god would be a crime punishable by death. Daniel was undeterred by his religious convictions. And this is what we read about in Daniel. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. Daniel did what he usually did. He didn't hear about a law against his faith and then decide to take a public stand and start doing something new just to make an issue of it. It was something that was regular for him. He was regularly doing this. He knew that by doing this, he could end up being killed. And the way that they were going to be killed was being thrown into the lion's den. What I want you to look at is what was the content of his prayer. The content of his prayer in the midst of this hard time was the same thing that Paul says should be the content of our prayer in our hard times. He gave thanks to God for what he had. He was thankful for how God had provided for him. And then he did the second thing. He shared his needs with God. He prayed to him with his needs. Daniel's regular habit was to pray three times a day, praying thanksgiving to God and telling God what he needed. The same thing that Paul tells us to do. When we're in hard times, we need to do the same thing. We need to pray to God, thanking him for what he has given us, but also not shying away from our needs and sharing with him what we need from God in the midst of these hard times. We touched on this in Sunday school this morning. We need to be able to be bold when we go to God, and we need to pray what we need, knowing that God's will is the best plan for us and that God is ultimately in control. But he wants us to be aware of what our needs are and to come to him and pray to him and tell those things that we need to God. Daniel did that. He came to God, he prayed for his needs, and he prayed prayers of thanksgiving, thanking God for what he had done for him. Now Daniel was then thrown into the lion's den. And I don't imagine that it was a peaceful time for him in the fact that he was going to be thrown into the lion's den. But even though he probably was scared at some level, internally and spiritually, he was at peace. Because he knew that God was in control. He knew that God was going to answer his prayer one way or another. He knew that he had done the right thing, and he left the results up to God. Now, as we know, he was spared that night. In fact, when they went to get him out the next morning, he didn't have a scratch on him. God had protected him from the lion's den. But God protected him from the lion's den because Daniel prayed. And because Daniel thanked God for what he had given him, and Daniel asked God for what he needed. He stated his needs to him. He thanked God for what he had done. And he prayed regularly. All those things that we need to be doing in order to truly find peace in this life. Praying regularly, sharing our needs with God, and thanking God for what he has given. Now God has promised to always answer our prayers, but we all know that he doesn't answer them sometimes the way we would like. Sometimes we can look back and be very thankful. I think, isn't it Garth Brooks that has "I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers"? And he talks about the girl that he thought he was going to marry at one point, and then, whoo, thank God that didn't work out, right? We can all look back and see some of those in our life, maybe, that we're thankful that God didn't answer our prayer, because at the time, we thought we knew what we wanted and what would be good for us, but God knew better. And God saved us from a terrible mistake in some cases. Now sometimes our prayers are successful, if you want to use that word. We get what we ask for. We get what we need. But sometimes we don't. And that's what we shared last week. And if you weren't here last week, go online and listen to the message last week as we talked about. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want. These hard times that we go through many times change us. They touch us to the core and change who we are, and we come out as different people. But in spite of that, we can have confidence that God's plan and God's kingdom is unshakable. I love this verse in Hebrews 12:28 that says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe." God's kingdom is unshakable. And in the verses before this verse, the writer of Hebrews is telling us all these things that are going to happen that are going to shake up everything, shake up heaven and earth. But the kingdom of God, following Christ, and our faith in that, is unshakable. God's kingdom is unshakable. No matter what happens on earth, no matter what hard times we go through, God's kingdom is unshakable. God's kingdom is secure. God's plan is unthwarted, and His power is not diminished. And we have to rest in that fact, and we have to have faith. And it means that in order to have faith, we pray. We're grateful for what God has given us. And we pray that God will show us, by the reading of Scripture, what He has done for us and what He has done for people in the past. Studying Scripture is a key element of getting through hard times, because we need to know, what has God done for us? What has God done for people in the past? Colossians says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." If we want to discover what to be thankful for, we need to know what God has done in the past. And we find out what God has done in the past by reading and studying Scripture. We let our roots grow down on the foundation of Christ. And when we build with that foundation, with our lives founded on Christ, we grow stronger. And we grow stronger because we begin to become more thankful and grateful for what God has done. When we need peace in our lives, we need to turn to the ultimate source of peace, who is our Savior, who is Jesus Christ. And we learn about Him, and more about Him, and more about Him, and more and more and more. And our confidence grows in that, and our peace grows by learning more about Christ through the Scriptures. In addition to studying the Scriptures to find out what God has done for us and for humankind in the past, we also look at our own lives. We need to take time and really think about, what has God done for you? How has God provided for you? Because when hard times fall, it's really easy to focus on that hard time and focus on that thing that's happening that's bad. And if we put that in our mind and focus only on the bad, we forget about the good. We forget about what God has done for us to be grateful for. In the pocket of the chair in front of you, there's an index card. And pull that index card out. And what I want you to think about right now is, what are you thankful for? And I want you to think about it in three categories. First, I want you to list three people that you're thankful for. Then I want you to list three life events that you're thankful for. And then three things that you're thankful for, possessions that you're thankful for. So write three people that you're thankful for in your life, three life events or things that have happened to you, experiences that you've had that you're thankful for, and then three possessions that you have. And you define possessions however you want. So you'll have 9 things on that list that you're thankful for. I'll give you just a minute to do that. 3 people, 3 events, and 3 possessions, however you define possessions. Keep this card somewhere with you, and I know some of you are still writing. But keep hold of this card this week. And when you're feeling down, or you're feeling hard times, or you're feeling depressed or discouraged, pull this card out and be reminded of these 9 things that you're thankful for. Because when we focus on the things that we're thankful for and the things that really matter in life, those people that we love, those experiences that we've shared with people that we love, those commitments to faith that we've made, our relationship with God. When we focus on those things, it helps us get through the hard times. Another thing you could do is try to keep a gratitude journal this week. And go through your day and just keep a note card with you or a journal with you or something. And as you go through your day, write down things as you go through your day that you're thankful for. And you can start when you take your shower in the morning that you have a running shower. Because most people in the world do not have running shower. And even fewer have just a knob to turn for hot water. When I stayed in Rwanda, we did not have hot water and we did not have showers. We had buckets. And we were one of the lucky ones because we had buckets. And then they started heating the water on the fire, on the stove before us so that we could have hot water for our bucket baths. We take for granted so many things. If we're hungry, we can go to Vine Street and get just about anything you can imagine, except for Olive Garden, which is sad, or Red Robin, which is also sad. But even just being able to do that, or go to the grocery store. You ask kids nowadays, where does bread come from? Walmart, Dillon's? They don't think wheat and farmers. They think, I just go to the store and buy it. But around the world, people don't have that luxury. We were listening to a guy we went to a concert on Thursday, and he was talking about water. And he said he went to a foreign country, and he went down to a spigot of water, a spring of water, that was no more water coming out of it than you'd come out of your bathtub. And he said people were pushing around it and fighting just to get in there to get their water jugs filled to take back to their homes. He said there was a little boy there who had been there for hours and he could not fight his way through the line to get his water. So this guy took his jug and pushed through and grabbed the water for the boy so he could take it back to his home. It was a 5-gallon jug that this 4-year-old boy had to carry. And it was up a hill, and the guy that was there carried his jug too as well, and he was tired at the end. He was tired going up this little hill. And he said, "Whew, we made it." And the volunteer that was with him said, "No, this boy has another 4-mile journey before he gets home." He had to walk the 8 miles or whatever it was every day just to get water. And when we want water, we go to our faucet. Or we go to Dillon's and get bottled water. We have so much to be thankful for. And not just in material things, but in relationships. Being able to come to church and worship God openly is something that many in the world can't do. We have so much to be grateful for. And when our hard times fall, which they will, if we can keep our focus on the good things and the things that we can be thankful for, and we come to God with prayer, and we come to God thanking Him for what He's given us, and we keep our minds focused on those things that are good, those things that are pure, those things that are admirable, then the peace of Christ will fill us, and we can have peace even in the midst of those horrible, hard times. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, I thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and I thank You that You have given us the ability to call out Your name and to be intimately connected to You in a way that You can give us Your peace by Your Holy Spirit. I pray for each person in this room that is going through a hard time. God, no matter what it is this morning, I pray that You would help ease their burden. Give them wisdom and insight as how best to deal with whatever the hard time is. Be with those individuals that we prayed for earlier. And be with each person in this room as we seek and desperately need Your peace, Your comfort, and Your love. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.